Welcome to Your Odyssey Podcast, where your guides, Tara and Karen, invite you on a transformative journey toward wholeness and personal growth. Each week, we'll discuss topics related to the human experience and offer insights to help you along the way. Please note, this podcast should not replace medical care or advice. We are not licensed healthcare professionals or mental health therapists. If you enjoyed today's episode, subscribe so you don't miss out on our future discussions. So, explorers, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome, explorers, to this episode that is being released on International Panic Day.
I'm so nervous about this. Hold on, you guys.
Just relax. Let me tell you a little bit about this day.
How can you tell me to relax? International Panic Day.
International Panic Day began as a mock holiday when people could shake off their various reasons to panic. Now it's a day to sit back, calm down, and let the panic and stress flow through you. It's also a day dedicated to raising awareness about mental health. Karen and I are very big proponents for mental health awareness and issues, and this episode is being recorded during Mental Health Awareness Month. So,
yeah,
full circle.
I am 100% behind that. Absolutely. And it's funny, it's called International Panic Day, but really, it's International It's Okay Day. It's okay.
Calm down.
Boy, feelings are big though, right? When the feelings and the thoughts start to affect your physical, ain't no joke.
Oh, yes. Amen, sister.
Ain't no joke.
Amen. Okay, a couple of quick facts I wanted to share before we dive in a little. Explorers, did you know that the word panic comes from the Greek word associated with the Greek shepherd god Pan, who, according to Greek myth, enjoyed causing fear among people traveling in the forest?
Oh, yeah. He was that little, like, nymph sprite thing that would be causing all kinds of trouble.
Panic is the body's response to a threat, as the release of stress hormones increases the heartbeat and flow of oxygen to the brain, which can help a person respond appropriately to a threat.
Now, that's a real or perceived threat, right?
Real or imagined. Panic disorder was established in 1980. Okay. By the development of the DSM-3 criteria, 1980.
That's just like a blip ago.
And most recently, in 2020, due to the global pandemic, International Panic Day took on new significance, highlighting the need for stress relief and mental health awareness during unprecedented times. Can we just, when were the precedented times? That's what I want to know. When were those
times? Isn't it all unprecedented? I mean, so much awareness and so much light shed on anxiety disorders and panic and depression and all of the things that heretofore were stigmatized as just being
melancholy, like, and hysteria.
Yeah, let's keep it quiet. That's Aunt So-and-so. We don't talk about it. It's just a breath of fresh air that we talk about these things and that we have ways to manage, you know, these things, you know, both organically and chemically. And it's just a whole different paradigm.
So according to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, anxiety disorders affect 40 million adults. That's 19.1% of the population.
Wow.
And of those 40 million adults, only 36.9% receive treatment.
Oh, that's a very low number. Less than half. Are they embarrassed? Are they don't know?
I think it is definitely all of that. Knowing that many people are affected, it's a catalyst. It'd be nice because you never know what someone's going through.
You never know. I say that to my kids all the time. I'm like, you have to be in someone's shoes. You have to understand their experiences, and you never can. So kindness and compassion.
Kindness and compassion will carry you.
Which is also something we need to show ourselves when we are in these moments of anxiety, high anxiety, panic, depression. You know, there's physical stuff going on and it's not easy. And it's also not uncommon. That's, I think, the point we're trying to make here is that there are a lot of other people going through it. So you're not weird. You're not strange. You're not alone. You're not a deviant. You're not an outlier. This is common. 20%? I mean, that's a lot.
That's a lot
of people. That's a lot of people on this 8 billion
people planet. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. Where I want to go with this is coming up with some of the common misconceptions about panic and anxiety. Mm. Sometimes you hear well-intended individuals tell someone to snap out of it. When you tell someone to snap out of it, you are dismissing their experience and kind of implying that their condition, their present reality, isn't serious.
That it's made up. Mm. It's all in your mind. Well, yeah, actually, my brain is doing these things with these chemicals. So if you want to say it's all in my mind, I guess.
Yes, it is. It is in there.
And then it's permeating my entire physical body and I'm having a visceral reaction. Thank you very much.
And what we said earlier about the response in your body when that real or perceived threat is occurring.
Adrenaline, cortisol, jacked up, stress.
Are we fighting or hormones? Are we flighting?
Right. Or what are we doing? Am I going to lay down and play dead? What's happening?
What are we going to do? Another misconception that piggybacks off of that one is that people are overreacting.
Mm.
Still dismissive.
So dismissive. How dare you?
So having compassion, a little bit of empathy will carry us through. I almost don't want to say this one, but I know it's something that people suffering, maybe why they don't get help or don't know that they should get help, is that it's perceived as a sign of weakness. If I can't just snap out of it, or if I am overreacting, I'm internalizing that. What's wrong with me?
The what's wrong with me syndrome.
What's wrong with me?
What's wrong with me? Why do I?
Why can't I just snap out of it? Why can't I?
Why can't I just be like everyone else? Thank goodness you're not.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. And that actually, going back to the snap out of it, dismissive attitude, I want to remind all of us, if someone comes to you and is brave enough to be vulnerable, to share what they're going through, please don't dismiss it. Please don't even try to fix it. Can you just maybe listen and then offer resources or
hold
support?
Space. Hold space for them.
Yeah.
I think about my panic attack when I was 16 years old. And looking back on that time of my life now, I realized I was internalizing expectations. I have to be the perfect daughter. I have to have perfect grades. I have to be the social butterfly. I have to do all of these things. And it was killing me.
Mm. Yeah, that's a lot of hoops to jump through.
It was a lot of hoops to jump through while staying on a pedestal.
Interesting visual.
Doing a circus act.
Yeah.
My mom was like, okay, we gonna go to the ER. I can't catch my breath. All of those classic symptoms of, I can't breathe.
Oh, it's terrifying. It's terrifying.
Knowing that was a result of all of those things that I took on or were imposed upon me, I am very protective of my mental health and my well-being now.
Mm, yes.
I don't keep it all in. I don't have to deal with it right now, but I will deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Before it gets to the tipping point, before I get to that point, I'm going to need to have a conversation.
You're diligent about
very,
about
very
that.
Protective.
Yeah, I love that. I remember the first time, because it happened several times in my formative years, you know, in the teens into 20s and maybe even early 30s, I had two or three significant panic attacks where literally the thought was, welp, I'm dying.
That's
I'm going
what it feels
out.
Like.
I'm going out. I just was like, I can't breathe. I feel like my heart is
going to blow up.
My heart's going to blow up, or it's going to slow down and stop because I just cannot. I didn't understand the force of those and the strength, the power of those chemicals that go through your body. And when you have a more sensitive nervous system, and I just happened to, it is a cocktail. Boy, that is a messy, messy cocktail. I remember standing on these stairs. I was newly married. I remember our dog being there. I was talking to my husband at the time, and I started feeling a complete panic coming over me. I just looked at him and I said, I can't breathe. I think I'm going to pass out. I'm scared. I'm terrified. I don't know what to do. And I could not get out of the cycle. Finally, probably after 10 minutes, that's a long time, y'all, when you feel like you can't breathe. It was about 10 minutes where he was really great. He was coaching me, trying to calm me down, talk me through it, helping me try to relax, helping me get my mind on something else. But it is terrifying when you're in the thick of that. It is everything.
As two women who have just shared their personal experiences with panic, I wanted to also highlight that women are twice as likely as men to develop a panic disorder.
Now
we're not saying it's hysteria. We're not saying
no, but can we unpack why that is?
That's suggest what I want. That this could be due to biological differences,
yes,
such as hormonal fluctuations.
Okay, yes,
you know what? I'm not going to touch that. Such as hormonal fluctuations, as well as psychosocial factors, including cultural and societal expectations.
Exactly, precisely.
Because of that, there is also. Mm-hmm. The idea that women may be more likely to seek help for the symptoms leading to a higher diagnosis rate. So, male explorers, if any of the things are sounding or feeling familiar to you, I'm going to need you to go talk to the people that can help you through it.
It's not normal and you don't have to hide it.
You don't have to hide it. It's important to know that there is care available to you.
Yes. And it's not in your head. If you're feeling these very physical, intense responses, there's something going on. Even if it is an idea or a thought and maybe not a physical threat like a lion running at you, there's something that is triggering that stress response. Mm. Your body's trying to tell you something. So please listen.
I know we've said that in previous episodes, like those emotions, that first response is an indicator for something.
It's an indicator. It's a gauge. It's a little tap on the shoulder. Well, sometimes it's a...
No, but a throat punch, like it hurts. It's a lot.
It's a headbutt.
It's heavy. It's big. We don't mean to make light of those situations, you guys. Yeah. It's very, very serious. And we implore, beg, plead with you. If you are in that, you don't have to do it alone. And you should seek help.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting because there are things that it's the opposite of what you probably need to do, but it's like we shut down and it's either like we're breathing really fast, mm-hmm, and shallow, or we're holding our breath. The best thing that you can do in that moment, in that really critical moment, is to close your eyes and breathe in really slowly through your nose and really slowly out your mouth. And stay focused on that. I'm not saying that it's going to solve everything, but it's at least going to help sort of lessen the critical, intense feeling of panic. Keying into your breath is a huge piece. At least for me, I find that that's
I really think helpful. That's helpful in those moments of feeling overwhelmed. Okay, let me just recenter and ground myself.
Yeah, and remembering too that what you're experiencing in that moment is not forever. So remember that this is a chemical thing that is happening because of something that your body, mind, brain perceives as threatening, or things that are just heightening and heightening, and it's just too much.
Mm-hmm.
It's a signal, a siren, it's an alarm, and it needs to be addressed.
Right? I love the image of it being a siren. What do we do when an alarm is going off? We usually investigate why it's going off.
We do pay attention.
There's something, some of the ways we can offer you in your knowledge and growing your knowledge on treating or coping or support for panic disorders. Cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, is one of the most effective treatments for panic disorder. This helps individuals understand and change their thinking patterns and behaviors that contribute to their panic attacks. You've heard Karen and I say before, change the narrative.
Yes. It helps you not only get grounded, but it helps you take your power back about what's going on. You know, and I want to clarify, she said CBT. Charlie Bravo
Tango. Tango. Okay. One of the other ways Karen touched on a little earlier would be relaxation techniques. And deep breathing exercises. She walked you through a little box breathing exercise. Another one is mindfulness meditation. Y'all go check out the Meditation Day episode.
There's so much in that episode.
So some of those can help manage the physical symptoms of panic. The Charlie Bravo Tango is for the mental reframing.
Because especially once you've been through anxiety or panic,
you recognize it.
You recognize it, and it's just like, oh, as a trigger and then it just starts rolling unless you get a hold of it.
And then in some cases, you might need SSRI, serotonin and benzodiazepines. But it's really important to work with a mental health professional to determine the best treatment plan for your specific needs.
Yes, because it could be a combination. If we're talking about an acute in the moment, medication can come in, help you stabilize. And then while you're on that, you work with some of the other
the mindfulness,
the box breathing, speaking with a therapist, the going through the reframing process and how to support yourself.
How can you support someone else? What we're not going to do is tell them to snap out of it. We're
that
not going
to overreact.
We're not going to do that. We are not going to minimize their experience. We're just going to hold space for them. Maybe ask them how we can support them, how we can help them. And in that, just getting them to talk about what they think they need in that moment can move us beyond that moment.
Sometimes that's the valve. Mm-hmm. It just takes a little bit of the intensity out of it. Having someone sitting there and, like you said, holding space, witnessing, being there with you, that alone is calming. And sometimes, at least for me, when you're in that moment, you don't want them to talk. Please don't talk. Stop talking. Just be here and let me know that I'm very likely 99.9% sure not going to die right in this moment. It's intense, the physical, chemical things that happen in our body when we perceive threat. It's why if you double back into triggers of trauma and trauma responses, it's all related. We've got all these things in there that we've got to kind of untangle and undo. And, you know, there's just a lot of ways and there's a lot of methods and there's a lot of things that can support you while you do that.
When you say,
and while you heal.
When you say untangle and undo, I think about how this conversation with each other and to our explorers can help shift things.
Because we're pointing out ways for it to help gives us the power back.
Mm-hmm. Empowerment.
Yeah, the empowerment piece.
Wow.
Yeah. And I find too, when I'm in the middle of a panic or anxiety attack, shifting my focus, trying to, with all of my focus, think about something else, look at something else. I don't know that putting on music in that moment would be helpful, but just taking my mind off it in some way to just try to get in the present moment, get out of my head, and just breathe.
Mm. There's nothing wrong with how you are processing.
There's nothing wrong with you, darling.
Well, I think one of the most dangerous places to be if you are suffering from a panic is in your head alone.
Oh.
Because when I hear you talk about your experience and when I remember my own experience, it really does feel like you're going to die.
Yeah.
I mean, as familiar as I could be with what that would feel like. But I imagine like this is it.
Right. There's something about the shallow, quick breathing, hyperventilation, your extremities start to tingle. I mean, there's just like serious physical
things.
Stuff that go on that you're like, well, this isn't good.
I mean, of all the medical dramas I watch, when your heart rate goes up like that, it's not good.
All right. So it's interesting. Hmm. But I do think reaching out to someone or hopefully being with someone anyway when it's going on and talking about it and just understand that you're not crazy. You're experiencing something that doesn't feel good in your body and in your mind. And it's not your fault. You're just having a response to something. And like you said, often we don't even know what it's in response to because sometimes those triggers are hidden.
They're buried real deep.
They're stealth. They're tricky.
And I want to encourage our community as well. The responsibility or the onus of help isn't on the person suffering. It's not just their job to tell us what's going on. So check in with your strong friends. Check in with your quiet friends. Check in on your people. Ask them how they're doing. Like really ask them and really
listen to the answer.
Listen to the pauses in between the words.
Listen to the watch the body language. Listen to the subtext.
Because you're paying attention, you'll pick up on the words they might be ashamed to say.
You know, as someone who lives with depression and I've experienced very, very low points, I can tell someone in a room that is experiencing it or has experienced depression because there's a very specific energetic thing that I notice. And it's just, if you're paying attention, you'll notice things about these people that are close to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's another reason why I just feel it's so important for us to be aware of our own energies and what we can and cannot, or maybe choose or choose not to partake in, or experiences that, you know, if you know that you panic when you're in big crowds,
yeah,
how about you just don't do that? We're not having a contest about who can just withstand the pain longer.
Oh my goodness. Torture we put ourselves through trying to fit into that we're supposed to do.
I'm truly thrilled that there's so much more exposure and resources for people like myself who are neurodivergent and who do not experience the world in the same way. Interesting to me that that's a similar percentage. 20% of the population are neurodivergent, 20% of the population with anxiety or panic. I'm not correlating those two things, but I just think that's fascinating because there's a way that we think we are perceived or supposed to be. And if you're living with a nervous system that doesn't process like everyone else, it's tricky. Boy, there's a lot that goes into the masking, the pretending, the facades. That's a lot of energy, my friends.
Child.
And that's why it's so beautiful that we're noticing it, we're talking about it. It's considered an able difference in workplaces now, in schools. It's considered a difference that may require support or a different set of rules, if you will.
By embracing people who live outside of the box. I don't want to just say think outside of the box. Mm. That's how we grow as a society. Everything doesn't have to be linear. Like, we can go off on tangents, and I love me a tangent. Y'all hear them on these episodes. Okay, you know, like, let's go. Oh, wait, hold on. Come back.
We're bringing it back.
Like, just celebrating that is what matters.
Yes, that was beautifully said. Really appreciating, celebrating, acknowledging
that.
Yeah, that it's a wonderful thing. The diversity is in all the ways. Diversity is only a good thing.
Always a good thing.
Always a good thing.
We know this word is not politically correct, but this song, so y'all, is dearly beloved. The song is "Let's Go Crazy" by Prince. Check out this week's song on the Yo Podcast playlist on Spotify. Minneapolis
Man.
is
hot stuff.
Very
old.
We just trying to get through this thing called life.
This thing called life.
Ooh.
You got your friends. You got your people.
You got some people.
Got to have your people.
Officially. This episode's QOTD is, how can we break the stigma surrounding panic and anxiety disorders within our communities?
Well, I'm going to blabbity, blabbity, blabbity.
Blab it on.
We need to raise awareness. We need to normalize it. We need to have conversations. We need to offer solutions and ways that we can help each other.
We have to have the open conversations. We have to be willing to educate ourselves and our loved ones. And Karen and I did a little bit of this in this episode, breaking the stigma by sharing our personal experiences.
Heck yeah.
And hopefully by doing that, we promote empathy and understanding to that 19.1% of the American population. You're not alone.
It happens. Normalizing it.
Normalize it. And we can normalize that not just with the education and the conversations, but by encouraging access to mental health resources.
And not even to speak of, because I know this is 7 other episodes, but not even to speak of how the resources need to be allocated equally to all people.
Mm.
Can I just get an amen?
She is preaching.
Can I get an amen?
Right now. He is preaching.
My goodness.
The mental health and medical deserts and, okay. Anyway, yeah. So, yes, we are going to normalize these discussions about mental health in our everyday conversations, in our educational settings, and in the media. We got to get a hold of the media, y'all.
Please.
When you have people that minimize or discount or discredit someone's experience, with a panic or anxiety disorder.
It's such a powerful platform, and things get so skewed and just twisted.
More voices that normalize it, more voices that offer empathy to create safe space for individuals to share their struggles without fear or judgment.
Yeah, and we got to start with our kids too. We got to start with our kids. There's so many kids that went through this pandemic and things were happening and they're like, what? I don't understand what's happening with me. Have the conversations. Talk about it. Well, sometimes this happens in our brain. Sometimes this happens in our body. Sometimes we feel all these feelings and we don't know what to do with them. So we stuff them inside and then our body reacts. Have those conversations. Mm. If our children are informed, and when they're going to school and they're talking about it with their counselors, I just think that that's going to turn the tide.
And I think our children need to be educated about it as well, because they're not just talking to their counselors, they're talking to each other.
Yes.
If we as parents, caregivers, guardians have those conversations, give some of that knowledge, share the resources. If their friend is going through a situation, they can help them out.
Hmm. Yeah. Empower them.
Oh, okay. So we're going to get off the soapbox for now.
But you know, we're so passionate about the topic.
We are inviting explorers to help change perceptions within our communities by breaking the stigma.
Bringing it into the light. Wow, we've got some quotes here.
I found a few quotes because I couldn't settle on what it was, and we will have a plethora of other episodes where these quotes might fit in, so I'm just gonna pick one. This quote is from Martin Luther King Jr.
I love this one.
If you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward.
And that might mean you need somebody to carry you for a little bit.
Explorers, lean on your people. This moment will pass. We're so glad you could join us for this episode on International Panic Day.
We thank you for witnessing our stories, for listening, for all of the love and the goodness you share with us. And we really, really implore you to take good care of yourselves in all the ways. Thank you to Queenie's in downtown Durham for the use of their community podcast studio and for welcoming us so warmly each week. We'd like to give a shout out to Coco Cinnamon, the birthplace of 1023 Media and the Yo Podcast. Please support your local, women-owned, minority-owned coffee shop in downtown Durham. Brought to you by Durham-based 1023 Media, a heart-centered, woman-owned multimedia company.